Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, thank you very much. Give me just a second to set up. We're probably going to be here a while if y'all... That's a joke if the ones that didn't get it. I heard somebody's finally getting it. Thank you guys so much for the warm welcome. It's an absolute pleasure to get to speak into this house again. I do feel more comfortable this time than I did last time. Last time I was so nervous I couldn't even eat when I got off work. So I had to preach nervous and on an empty stomach, and it was pretty bad. Plus, my wife let me dress myself tonight. I got to wear my house shoes, so I do feel a lot more comfortable. Before I get started, I do want to honor my grandpa, Reverend Glenn Tilley. He's here tonight. He is a true man of faith, and I'm so thankful for him. He spent his life serving the Lord, and it's just a true blessing that he's here to get to see me preach tonight. So, you guys ready for the Word? All right. If you would turn with me to Mark chapter 4, we're going to be reading verses 35 through 41 tonight. It should be on the board. If you guys don't mind, will y'all stand with me as we read the Word? Something that we like to do in this house to honor God's Word. We'll start in verse 35. It says, "On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Father, we just pray to you tonight. We just thank you for your Word. We thank you for the calling that you've placed on my life, and I just ask, Lord, that you just help me to walk that out. Father, Lord, give me the words to speak to your people and give your people ears to hear and hearts to receive. In Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated tonight, unless y'all just want to stand up with me. I felt more comfortable while y'all were standing, to be honest. I wasn't the only one in the room. The title of my message tonight is How to Weather the Storm. And the first thing I want to encourage you with tonight is Jesus is in the boat. Sometimes we don't realize that he's right there with them, even though that they forgot it and they didn't realize at the time, he's right there in the boat. So I'm here to assure you tonight, no matter what kind of storm you're going through, you're not alone. No matter how dark the night may seem, or how strong the winds are blowing, or how tall the waves are crashing into the boat, you're not alone. He's right there with you. At the end of the book of Matthew, as it closes out, chapter 28, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Amen.'" Jesus says that he's with us even to the end of age. So I'm here to tell you one more time, just in case you don't know, Jesus is in the boat. Okay, we got that? He may be asleep in the boat, but he's still in the boat, and we'll get to that in a minute. I love this story because, one, it shows the power of God, but it also shows how important our faith is. And something that's awesome about the Word of God is that it's a living Word, and it speaks to you right where you are. And that's great because, and it's so important because not all of us are on the same level. Some of us have been walking with the Lord a lot longer than others have. Some of us are newborn Christians and just beginning to walk with the Lord. A good example of that to me is me and the pastor. Y'all may not know this, but I'm actually a pretty good bit older than the pastor. It doesn't show, but I'm an old man. But the pastor's been walking with the Lord a lot longer than I have. So, guess what? I look to him in respect. I look to him for guidance. I look to him for discipleship. I was in my late 20s when I was born again and baptized. And when that happened, I was just a baby Christian. And I like to refer to myself as a baby Christian then because I had to learn how to walk like Jesus. I had to learn how to talk like Jesus. And I had to learn how to feed on the Word because I was a newborn. I'm still young in the faith, and the Lord's really grown me, especially the last couple of years since. And I credit that a lot to God placing me here at the Well under Pastor Spencer Madison's leadership, but also to you guys. your love, your prayers, your encouragement has really helped me grow. And not only helped me grow, it's helped me to want to grow. I want to do better. So I don't want you to think just because you're not up here preaching that you're not doing ministry and you're not pouring into people. Because we are all children of God, and some of us are mature and young Christians, we can expect that some Christians will handle things different than young Christians. I have two children, so this makes sense to me. They're 7 years apart, and I don't look for Charlie Kate to handle things the same way I look to Carter to handle things. Carter's older. He's more mature. He's been through things that Charlie hasn't. I've taught him things that I haven't had a chance to teach Charlie yet. So as I'm reading this story, it speaks to me both as the point of view of the young Christian and the mature Christian. That's what I want to cover tonight. As we go through the story, I'm going to look at both views. So let's start in verse 35. In verse 35, Jesus says, let us cross over to the other side. And the first point I want to make tonight is the same for the young and the mature Christian. And that is that Jesus told them to cross to the other side. So I want you to realize, just because God tells you to do something, it doesn't mean that you're not going to encounter a storm in your life. Just because you've got a word from the Lord to do something, it doesn't mean that it's going to be all sunshine and butterflies all the time. It doesn't mean that there won't be struggles, and it doesn't mean that there won't be adversity. All it means is that he's in the boat with you. He's right there with you. And if God is leading the way, then he's right there with you, and he's in front. We're following him, so he's always right there. And planting this church is a good example of that to me. I like using examples, but just because the Lord called us to Fort Payne, it didn't mean that we wouldn't see adversity. It didn't mean that we wouldn't have troubles along the way. It does, however, mean that he's with us, that he's faithful, and that he's going to provide for us. And it's sad that some Christians turn back and never make it to the other side because of the storm in their life. They begin to think, well, God must not be calling me to this, or else the winds wouldn't be blowing so hard, or the waves wouldn't be so rough out here, though. So I'm just going to turn back. So hold on to what God's spoken to you. Hold on to that word. Now that we're determined that storms are going to come, everybody's aware of that, right? Storms are going to come in your life. Let's talk about how we handle the storms. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And I feel like how we handle storms in our life sets us apart from the world. And here is where I believe young and mature Christians should handle it different. Let's start with the young in the faith. We know the story. Jesus has told you to go. We just read the story. I hope we know the story. Y'all remember, right? All right. Jesus has told you to go. You're sailing along. Everything's going great. And then the storm comes in your life. And here's my advice for the young Christians in this situation. Don't wait until your boat is sinking to go wake up Jesus. We all know Christians that are only Christians when things get rough. When everything falls apart, then they want to be Christians. As Christians, we need to be walking with Jesus and talking with him about all things. Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your praises be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So bring everything to Jesus. Jesus is not just a life jacket that you put on when your boat starts to sink. So keep that in mind. I want to tell you a story about me and how this has played out in my life. I love using real life examples when I'm preaching because I feel like, one, I feel like it's our job as pastors to take the word and show you how to apply it to your life outside of these walls. So a while back, this is where the story begins. I didn't tell you all that part, but a while back, I purchased a truck. It was a used truck. It was new to us. It was a nice truck. We liked it. And after a few months, the transmission went out. When I say I purchased it, me and my wife purchased it too. I just looked at her and thought about that. But anyways, we purchased it and the transmission went out. So now we had this truck with a transmission out. And I still had a payment on it. So now we had a big paperweight sitting out there in the yard. So we were completely devastated at that point. And this was pre-Dave Ramsey, Jeff Tilley. So I didn't just have money just sitting around. I felt like my boat was sinking. So guess what I did? Ran to Jesus. Jesus, I'm perishing. You don't even care. Look at me down here. I'm trying to live right and all this is happening to me. Did I bother once to ask his opinion before then? Let me tell y'all, no, I didn't because y'all wasn't there. But I'll let y'all know I didn't. But no, I waited until everything went wrong. Then I brought everything to him. So now that I've grown a little bit, now when we go to purchase a vehicle, we start praying about it right then. We start asking for guidance. We start asking for favor. We start asking for, Lord, send us the vehicle that we're supposed to have. I ask Jesus now to be my salesman, and my repairman and my mechanic all in one. I don't just bring him in at the end when everything's fell apart. So I encourage you to keep Jesus involved in your life as a young Christian. It's vital to the growth in your life. Now let's look at it from a mature Christian's point of view. Same story. Jesus has told you to go. You're sailing along. Everything's going great. Then the storm comes. And this is how I believe mature Christians should handle these situations. Have faith to speak to your own storm in your life. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." In verse 12, he says, "He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do." So does anyone believe in Jesus in here? I was just going to, okay, newsflash for you. He's expecting you to do some of these things in your life. So in case y'all wasn't aware of that. So say you have, so make sure that you have faith in him in your life and make sure that you're speaking to your storms. And as we look at this, there's no denial that faith is the secret ingredient in all of this. Time after time we read how your faith has healed you. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Even Jesus himself didn't perform very many miracles in his hometown. And it wasn't because he didn't like them, and it wasn't because they were sinful or they didn't love God. It was because they lacked faith. So now the question is, how do we get faith? In Romans 12:3, it says, "Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith." So we each have faith. That isn't the problem. And we already discussed, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. So size isn't the problem. So my advice to mature Christians in these situations is, don't let your problem get bigger than you believe God can fix. And I want to explain that, so hear me out on this. So don't misunderstand me. God, there's no problem too big for God. God is all-powerful. This isn't about God's power. People weren't healed in Jesus' hometown because they didn't believe. It had nothing to do with God's power or how powerful he was. So it's more about what you believe God can do in your life than how powerful he is. The definition of faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. So complete trust. So my point in all of this is, don't wait till your storm outgrows your faith before you try to speak into it. It's hard to have complete trust and to calm the waters in your life if you wait until waves are smacking you in the face. It's hard to focus on anything but your storm. I actually have a story for this one too. Y'all love stories, right? Y'all are going to find a lot about me the more I get up here and talk. But this time, same guy, it's me again. I come down with the flu. And being a man's man, a tough guy that I am, I probably waited a little longer than I should have to go to the doctor. It was either that or me being cheap. I'm not really for sure which one it was, but either way, I waited longer than I should have to go to the doctor. So here I am. I'm laid up in bed, feeling like I'm dying. So I begin to speak the sickness off of me. I mean, I've read a few scriptures here and there. I heard a few songs. I was feeling it. I was just going to speak the sickness right off of me. Well, that, yeah, thank you. Well, that didn't work, just to let you know. A few hours later, I'm still dying in bed. So here I go again. Lord, I'm perishing down here. Then we'll go to wake up Jesus again. I'm dying. You not care that I'm dying? I mean, good grief. I'm trying to live right. But now that I'm a little more mature, I still speak to sickness in my life, and I think we should. But now I don't wait till I'm laying up in bed dying before I start speaking to sickness. Now if I get a tickle in my throat, I'm casting that thing out and starting to speak to it. And it's funny because when I first started, I would feel like I had a sickness coming on. I felt like maybe it was a tickle in my throat, or I just felt like, man, I'm getting sick. So I'd start praying and speaking against it, and I would get better. I wouldn't get sick. Well, instantly my flesh would start telling me, well, that didn't work. You weren't going to get sick anyways. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if you'd have done that or not. You weren't going to get sick. But the more that I do it, it's become second nature to me. We speak life and death with the tongue. And I used to speak death and not even realize it. I would be talking down to myself or my family members or anything. But now I'm speaking life into things without even realizing it. And that is growth too. And I'm not here tonight to tell you where you're at in your walk in faith. I believe that you can hear how you're handling storms and look at that and determine where you're at in your walk. And I know that this message wasn't long, but I did pray about it tonight, and I asked the Lord if I should add anything to it. And I really felt like I would have just been adding something just to fill a time slot. It wouldn't have been because the Lord had put it on my heart. So as I close tonight, I do have two main things that I want everybody to take away from this. And the first thing is that storms are going to come. Storms are going to come in your life. Don't be surprised by them. Be prepared for them. And then the second thing I want you to take away is don't wait until your ship's sinking before you begin to apply your faith, whether it be in praying to Jesus or speaking to your own storm. Speak to that thing soon and before it gets too big. And then the last, there's one more thing that I felt like I was supposed to share with you guys, and that's just having grace with younger Christians. And I'm not talking about children either. I'm talking about adult Christians. We're casting nets out in this community right now, and when you're net fishing, you don't get to pick and choose what you bring up. It's not like fishing with a pole. You throw a net, you might bring in a bass or a catfish or a carp. You don't know what you're going to bring up. And there's going to be all kinds of people come through that door right there. And they're not going to know how to walk like Jesus or talk like Jesus or feed on his word. They're going to be different. But one thing they are going to know, we're going to make sure that they know that God loves them and that we love them and that we can all grow together. Because there's another thing that newborns need, and that's someone to take care of them. So be conscious of that in your heart, too, and be looking for it. If you see somebody out that feels like they're out of place or they don't have anybody to talk to, make sure that your heart's aware of that and make them feel at home. And we just need to make sure that we're slow to judge and we're quick to love is the main thing from that. And I want to thank you guys so much for your time. Like I said, I know it was short and sweet, but I truly hope y'all got something from that. And I just want to tell y'all I love y'all. Thank y'all.
I want to tag on to something that Pastor Jeff was saying there at the end, just about having grace for younger Christians. It reminded me when I was growing up, my dad pastored a church over in Huntsville, and there was a young lady that got saved that had been in a very rough lifestyle, one that we don't have to go into time tonight to uncover, because when she got saved, she became a new creation. All things were passed away and all things became new, right? Well, she got saved and she was coming to church, but she was still dressing in a way that was inappropriate to what the church people thought. And so this lady that had been walking with the Lord for longer than her pulled her aside one day, and she was going to set this young lady straight on the way she was dressing. She was showing a little too much up top, a little bit too much down below, and she needed to change that if she was going to be holy, if she was going to be in the church. And so she pulled her aside and she said, "Young lady, the way you're dressing is not appropriate for a woman of God." And the young lady looked at her and she said, "Ma'am, God gave me a new heart, but he didn't give me new clothes. This is all I have to wear. And you're just going to have to be patient with me until I can go buy some more clothes. But right now, I don't have any money to." And so we have to remember that when people get saved, yes, they have a new heart, but sometimes the outside behavior takes a while to catch up with what's happening on the inside. And instead, let's be the type of people that would come along and offer assistance instead of judgment. Let's be the one that would put our arm around somebody and say, "Hey, baby, is there anything that you need that I can get you?" And maybe that young lady would say, "You know what, I would really like to have some new clothes that are a little bit more presentable to wear to church." Instead of feeling ashamed, she maybe would feel covered. And so I just want to tie into that and remind you that those of us, and those of you that come on a Wednesday night, you're our core people. You are the heart and the beat of this house. And I, as the pastor, lean on you and hope that you would be the type of person that when someone comes through those doors, no matter what they look like, no matter what they smell like, no matter what they talk like, no matter what they act like, we're not here. I always go back to what Billy Graham said. He said, "It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It's God's job to judge. It's my job to love." That's my responsibility. I just love people. And as we love people, guess what? It's the kindness of God. I've been thinking about this scripture all week. It's the kindness of God that leads a man to repentance. It's not you turning your nose up at somebody and looking at them the wrong way till they act right. You ever try that with your children? Sometimes I look at my children just till they act right. Like,
And eventually they get the message, but sometimes that's not the best approach when it comes to working with people in the church. Sometimes people just need to know they're loved, they're cared for, and it's God's job to judge people. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict people. In fact, Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he will convict the world of sin. Isn't it amazing how we try to take the job of the Holy Spirit so often, and we want to convict people, and we want them to feel bad? But it reminds me, my dad used to always tell this story growing up. There was a great man of God by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. Y'all ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Smith Wigglesworth was taking a train ride one day, and he walked into a train car full of clergymen. And he sat down, and then he decided he was going to get up and go wash his hands. He went and he washed his hands. On his way back, one of the other pastors, he stopped him. He said, sir, you convict me of sin in my life. Smith Wigglesworth said, I didn't say a word to you. He said, you didn't have to. The Holy Spirit that's inside of you convicted me. And can I share some things with you? And eventually the entire train car began to just open repent. I've been carrying this in my life. I've been doing this and it's not right. He didn't have to say anything. He didn't have to do anything. You know what he did do? He just walked and was just himself, and the Holy Spirit worked through him. And that's what he can and wants to do through each and every one of you. But listen, we can miss it if we don't love. Because think about 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, guess what? It doesn't profit anybody anything. If I give all of my goods to the poor, and I give my body to be burned, guess what? It doesn't matter if I don't have love. And so let's love people. Amen. Could you stand to your feet with me tonight? Pastor Jeff, thank you so much for the reminder, for the encouragement, for the instruction and righteousness from the Word of God. And I believe that each and every one of you this week, here's the good news. Now when the storm comes, you're going to remember Jesus is in the boat. You're not going to freak out, right? Tomorrow, if you get in the car and it doesn't start, you're not going to go, why am I down here perishing? You're going to go, Jesus, I know you're somewhere in this car. And I know that you're going to help me, and you're going to make a way of escape. And so remember, Jesus is in the boat. It doesn't mean that there won't be storms, there won't be trials. In fact, the book of James tells us to count it all joy when we fall into various trials and temptations, knowing that the testing of our faith will produce patience. And so know anything that God leads you to, he's going to get you through, but there's something he wants you to get out of it. And when you allow him to teach you and to instruct you, and you don't push it off, and sometimes, listen, I heard somebody say one time, seasons, and we as Christians, we like to talk about seasons, right? Seasons, because they're real, they're true. Seasons are for learning, not for skipping. And anytime you try to skip a season, guess what you got to do? You got to relearn it all over again. You ever heard of Jerry Lee Lewis? Anybody know Jerry Lee Lewis? Okay. Jerry Lee Lewis, his nickname was the killer. You know why Jerry Lee Lewis was nicknamed the killer? It wasn't the way he played the piano. It wasn't the way he would pick up his piano stool and throw it across the stage or rock stage. It's because Jerry Lee Lewis failed the sixth grade. But when Jerry Lee Lewis showed up at school the next year, he wanted to go to the seventh grade. So he walked into the seventh grade class and he sat down. And the teacher came up and said, Jerry Lee, you're supposed to be in sixth grade. He said, I want to be in seventh grade. He said, well, you're going to have to go back to sixth grade because you failed sixth grade. He said, I'm not going back to sixth grade. So he reached down, he grabbed Jerry Lee, and Jerry Lee grabbed him by the tie that was around his neck and nearly choked the man to death. And so his friend called him the killer, and it stuck ever since he was in the sixth grade, supposed to be in the seventh grade. And I don't remember why I was telling y'all that story anymore. I have no idea where that came from or why I was talking about that. Maybe somebody can help me. Brother Jim said amen, amen. He's just amen. I have no idea why I was telling that story. I wish I could get back. He had to do it over. He had to thank you, Pastor Bonnie. But the reason Jerry Lee had to redo the sixth grade is because he'd failed sixth grade. And sometimes it's like that way in our lives, is with seasons, is when we do not learn what God wants us to learn in one season, guess what? Repeat and repeat and repeat until we get it. So don't resist the trials. Sometimes we just need to embrace it and say, all right, God, whatever you want me to learn in this season, I'm going to learn it. Amen. Count it all joy, my brethren. So would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, I ask that you would, just as we prayed earlier for our hearts to be ready to receive the word, I pray now that the word of God would be sealed by the Holy Spirit, that it would, just like when you put a seed in the ground, you cover it back up with soil. And there's that season where you don't see it and you don't know if it's working. You don't know what's happening, but that seed is germinating. Actually, it's dying. And then It's germinating, but then it's going to begin to come to life. And I pray that these things that were spoken in our life, they would come to fruition, that we would trust in that faith, that just like Jesus, I know he said to them, why are you so fearful? I pray that we would be able to see that fear and recognize it in our life and go, I'm not going to give into that fear. I'm not going to give into that doubt. I'm not going to give into the worry and all the things that come with it. But instead, I'm going to keep my faith in Jesus because I know he can speak to the storm and say, peace be still. I know I can speak to the storm and say, peace be still. And I'm going to speak life with my tongue, and I'm going to speak faith, and I'm going to speak truth, and I'm going to speak the word of God over my life and my family. So Lord, let these things be sealed in our hearts, and let us learn what you have for us to learn. Lord, I know that you put them, Jesus put the disciples in that boat because there was something that they could only learn in the middle of the storm. There was something they couldn't learn on land. It had to be learned in the middle of that sea when the wind was blowing and the waves are raging. So God, whatever you have for us to learn, we want to learn it. We submit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, and may he smile all over you, and may the Lord show you favor and grace like you have never seen before, and may you embrace everything that he has for you, and may you walk with faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. Gentlemen, we hope to see you Saturday morning for the Strong Men's Breakfast at 7:30 a.m. Pastor Lauren's going to be bringing the word, and you don't want to miss it. Love y'all.